Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. Leah Schiappino, JJ Hurley, Robin Lee, Thoy Rodriguez, Via Magna, Shannon Van Scoten, Tanya Weber, Matilda Smith-Thompson, Shannon Quinton, Lydia Kikuchi, Stacey Corrigan, Elvira Dabas, Candy Gleason, Angie Zadava, Megan Eichner, Cheyenne Hampton, Kelly Milkey, Alicia Olin, Rachel Boren, Stephanie Carnes, Whitney Griggs, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv podcast, Katie Bollinger, Julia Jin, Julia Monin, David Webb, Jill Stellman, Rebecca Frederick, Peyton England, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Ryan S., Stacey Keller, Bobby Young, Whitney, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Matt Mercier, Teresa Trapp, Jeannie Schneider, Spunky Cheek, Max Duration, Dana Wilkins, Laura Furman, Valerie Williams, Annie Quinn, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Ginny Comer, Daddy Cashin, Aaron Wortman, Liz Serha, Don Roberts, Rebecca Harris, Michelle Plug, Suzanne Holland, Melissa Gilbert, Dean Butler, Sherry Benner, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years or Wonder Years podcast, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV podcast, Susan King, Jeff Griffin, and Megan Parker. Thank you all for your support. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, welcome. This is Mark, and you're listening to Walnut Grovecast. I'm on with Kim Lair. How are you, Kim Lair?
I am doing so well, thank you. I am drinking some tea out of my official Walnut Grovecast mug.
What?
Yeah.
Somebody stole my name. Bastards. Yeah, people are receiving these mugs all around the world.
Great.
I sent a couple. One went to Japan. I have no idea if it got there. Maybe it's on its way. It's always it was a pleasure to make those things and to send them out. And I'm glad that people seem to have to like them. There were a couple of errors. There were a couple of mistakes, but hopefully they're being rectified as we speak. So. Like misalignments and stuff like that. And being the nerd I am, I'm like, I don't know. Production is very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but nonetheless, I'm so glad that you're using it and you enjoy it. So
I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Mm. So we're talking about, you know, this podcast has been called a miracle. It's like the New York Times, you know, what people used to call the New York Times. Whenever there would be an obituary, people would say it's, you know, it's kind of like a miracle, the amount of work that goes into some of these obituaries. If you read some of the old New York Times obituaries, it was like a biography. It was amazing. And that's not what this podcast is. But but at the same time, that's what I would call a miracle. But what are we talking about today, Kim?
Today we are talking about season 6, episode 4, The Third Miracle.
Yeah, this is a great lesson in karma, I think. I'll explain why I think that in a little bit. But it's an interesting episode. This is early October 1979. It's October 8th, 1979. And at first you're kind of thinking that this is going to be a lighthearted episode.
Yeah.
And it turns tragic, not even quickly. I don't think quickly.
Yeah, thank God for that, by the way, because we really don't get into the action of what happens in this episode until 15 minutes till the end. And it was harrowing. I could not have handled any more.
Now you raise bees, right?
As soon as we come to the opening shot, there's like a bunch of bees in a tree, and I was like, okay, this is why Mark picked this episode for me to talk about with him. Yeah, I keep bees.
Now, I see on the table here, I see some crocks that are really amazing. You pointed out, what are these, 3 gallon, 2 gallon jugs
Yeah,
or
they're
something?
2 gallons. They have 9 of them. I don't know where they came from. They also have a smoker, which I don't know where that came from.
Well, the smoker, isn't it? And I don't know much about this, but it's, from what I understand, it's pine needles that they burn, and that makes the bees kind of calm down.
It's not necessarily pine needles. You can put pine needles in there. They're actually pretty like oily, so that's not really a great thing to put in there because you want your smoke to be cold. But the smoke covers up the bees' alarm pheromones, which smells like bananas. So you want to cover that up so that, because you know, once one bee sends out the alarm pheromone, they all kind of swarm on you and want to
Oh,
sting
wow.
you and attack you. So the smoke is just to cover it up to calm them down. And it's also why you don't want to eat bananas right before you go do a hive inspection
Holy
because they
cow.
will sting you for
So
that.
it's that similar to the smell of bananas. Or it
Oh, yeah.
is, or maybe it's whatever's in bananas that makes it smell like bananas is the same chemical.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, is that similar that you don't want to do that? And so you want like a cold smoke usually, and that's the main reason. But like they really weren't wearing, they were wearing hats. I anticipated to see some veils, maybe some like cheesecloth thrown over them. No, but I noticed Laura was wearing pants.
Yeah, it's like a jumpsuit type thing.
Yeah, well, she's wearing a dress that we've seen before, like tucked into pants. And I was just like, okay, I've never seen a girl wearing pants on this show.
Now, hold on. Now, each one of these crocs is supposedly 24 pounds, right? I mean, each one, the haul is 24 pounds. And I think it's 8 pounds per gallon. So that would mean that it's 3 gallon
No,
jug.
it's 12 pounds per gallon. I Googled how much honey is because honey is heavier than water.
Oh,
So it's
okay.
12 pounds per gallon. But
Yep.
I do have issues with the math because they say it's 216 pounds of honey, which is so much honey. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's how much they've harvested. And they say it's going to go for 30 cents a pound later on. We learn that. So they keep saying, like, we have $57 to play with, $57.60. That's not the right math. It should actually be like $64.
For that money, shouldn't they be buying their own farm?
I mean, my God, that's so much.
Like this, they're broke. I mean, their financial situation is not exactly very positive right now for the family. And he's
Right.
like, I'm gonna have a telescope while Ma's like scraping together some, mixing dirt in the flour to make bread. I thought it was a little bit of a strange thing. There are a couple things here that are kind of like that. I get it. Also, it's kind of they worked hard for their money, and the
Right.
family doesn't want to take it, of course. But they seem
Well,
broke right now. They don't seem to be doing exactly so well.
yeah, and you know, we have Grace at this time, so we got like
Ugh.
4 mouths to feed at home
Yeah.
of the kids, not even like Charles and Caroline, but yeah,
Got all the
times
honey you
are
could eat.
Yeah, and they say like we're gonna give them like really good Christmas presents. Albert and Laura are planning on like really spoiling the family for
Yeah,
Christmas.
it's like I'm gonna buy them a really wonderful thing to hang on the wall, but not food.
Right, exactly, and not a wall to hang it on.
Right, no, yeah, we're not gonna finish the wall. So, I'm just gonna play this opening scene where it just, they're talking about their honey. Sets us up for the entire episode.
That jug's almost all the way filled up.
Yeah, this will make 9 jugs. Those bees sure are busy.
Let's see. 24 pounds a jug, that's
216 pounds.
Oh, that's an awful lot of honey.
And an awful lot of money.
And there's still some in the log.
Yeah, we better start delivering.
And collecting.
I'm leaving now!
That's the most refined honey I've ever seen. It comes right out of it's not even really a hive, it's a log, and it's coming
Right.
out perfectly amber.
I don't know how they like refine. I mean, I don't know how they separated it from the beeswax. I don't know how they did any of
I
that
don't think
stuff,
they wanted to get too into any of that.
but.
There's like no bees around in most of these shots, which is another thing
Right.
that's kind of funny.
Except for like the real tight shots, then it's like crawling in bees.
Yeah, well, it's intense because the music lets you know. David Rose does a very interesting job in this entire episode, we get a lot of interesting music throughout this. Mm-hmm. But Carrie wants in. Carrie's like, why can't I play with the bees?
I know. Poor Carrie. So left out this episode.
Oh, she is. I mean, it's like an ongoing joke with her. It's awful.
Yeah.
Why won't Laura and Albert let me help them?
Because they don't want you hurt. Bee stings can be very dangerous, especially for children, darling.
They're children, too.
Yes, but they're older.
I bet the bees don't know that.
That's some talking back, in my opinion. Get a smack. Whoa. It's, so, but she's right. You know, it's, at her age, Laura was already down frogging and fishing and doing all types of stuff. Carrie, she barely can leave the house. Oh my God. We coined the term honey money, which I just think is very funny.
Oh, it's delightful to say.
Yeah, it's and it's probably what they should say over and over again. I'm surprised they didn't. So they have these awesome crocs, which I see these and I just think I want to make pickles. Now these must weigh, I don't know, 15 pounds each empty, at least.
Right. Yeah, they're like good, like stone crockery. Like, I don't even, ceramic. I don't even know what it is, but they definitely look heavy. And that table does not look like it can support the weight.
It's like, who made this? Did this come with, you know, is this like a Jonathan build, or is this like a, I don't know who built this table. It does not look like a pa table to me from scraps. It's like it's been in a barn fire from down the road and they just said, hey, you can still put stuff on top of it. But what I'm kind of alluding to is that's about 40 pounds that they're carrying of each one.
It's yeah.
It's pretty heavy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have to hand it to them. Even if they're empty, you know, it's like these kids are they're lugging around some stuff, finally.
Yeah. Farm strong.
Yeah.
Look at it all. Oh.
Well, have you thought of what you're going to do with your share of the honey money?
Vaughn, I've been dreaming. Studying the catalog. I'm going to get one of them telescopes and a new velocipede.
What's a velocipede?
It's got two wheels and you ride on it.
Oh.
Now, you went and you did a little research on the velocipede. It's like the big wheel bicycle. I mean, I don't... Who calls it a velocipede?
Well, a velocipede is a early American term for a human-powered land vehicle with one or more wheels. So it's kind of a generic, all-encompassing term. But when I consulted my Sears Roebuck catalog, the velocipedes were like tricycles. So they had like one in the front and two in the back. And by the way, they were $47.
Yeah, I mean... I can imagine it. I mean, there's so many moving parts and mechanics involved and the spokes and the wheels. And
I'm just saying, Albert's taken more than his share of that honey money.
Oh, yeah. He's about to spend it all. one thing that's kind of interesting, and it didn't really occur to me until you pointed out that the price of honey seemed to be a little bit inconsistent based upon the catalog, the real catalog. So,
right, yeah.
What is the deal? I have not had a chance to like really look into this, but shipping has to have been, and the freight charge has to be somewhere in this. And I'm imagining that there might be, unless you have to order through a store, like a mercantile, I'm going to imagine that there's more cost associated outside of the actual cost of the product.
Right. And according to the catalog, in like the very beginning, there's a part that says like based on which depot you are picking it up from, it shows you how much it costs per pound. So like 0 to 75 pounds,
yeah,
is like an extra dollar. 75 to 100 is like $1.50. So they kind of go up like that. But I mean, my God, if you're making a big order, they really get you on that shipping.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely didn't have Amazon Prime back then.
No, I know. And they're sending you like barrels and like big crates, like when Laura gives Ma the stove, you know.
Yeah, like that crate. I'm like, oh, I'll use that wood for something else.
Yeah.
By the way, that was only $7.87. We're talking about some serious cash here.
I mean, and I'm sorry, I misspoke, actually. $47 is for the telescope in the Sears Roebuck catalog. Oh, the velocipede was like $11.65, but still, I mean, he's already spent all their money.
I mean, still, that's like $300 in today's money.
Yeah, it is. Actually, the $57 that they're supposed to get from the honey is $1,499 in 2020 money.
Holy cow. It's a lot of money. It certainly is a lot of money, and it looks like they did a lot of work for that money. Let's hear what else they're going to get.
How about you?
Well, I'm going to buy myself a whole new outfit. Dress, hat, gloves, everything.
Trying to make Almanza Wilder look at you, huh?
A young lady should look her best at all times.
For Almanzo, huh?
Sure, we gotta share the wealth.
For everybody in the family something.
I just have to call you right back. Well, you know what? I'm just gonna mute you. I just have to call my son real quick.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Sorry about that.
No problem.
This is what's weird. I got a text 3 minutes ago that it's one of these scam things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you're getting like a ton of these calls out of nowhere. You know, like spam calling.
Yeah.
And says, I can help you with your accident, Ramiel. Connect me as soon as possible and you get your money faster. Text no thanks to pass. Kelly with Earn More. So it's like the first time I'm like, well, and it's weird that it has my kid's name in there. But then he calls me and I'm like, I missed the call. So I just called him and he's just telling me how we chose to keep him home full time right now because of right now. It's a real hot spot here. Like it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's not crazy. What am I talking about? People aren't dying. But in general, there's more cases. So we just find that it's easier to do that. And he just told me that not only he's on class, but the teacher's currently virtual. And he has 22 kids in his class, and 19 of them are virtual. So there's three kids sitting in a classroom right now looking at a screen of the teacher.
Oh, my God. Why?
Oh, that's just weird. Yeah, that's crazy. All right. Sorry. Let's get back to that.
No problem.
It's just the times, it's like the fourth miracle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're kind of messing with Laura a little bit. We're kind of talking about Almanza Wilder being in the picture, and you know she has googly eyes for him, and I think everyone knows it, Laura. But this is also still a little bit of a young Laura that goes away so quickly, right?
I know. They grow up so fast.
When she puts her hair up, it's like, it's over. It's over.
For sure.
It's like, once you start wearing your hair in a bun.
You are a woman.
Now, in one of the funniest little parts of this entire episode I'm going to play. Now, at this point, we're talking about collecting honey and having honey money. And having this scene, we're really setting ourselves up for a lighthearted episode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think. But here we go.
If you don't like it, don't eat it.
You got a deal.
And that goes for the rest of you. If you're not satisfied with my cooking, get out!
Ma covers her mouth from laughing, and she hits herself. Did you catch?
I didn't.
Yeah, she goes to cover her mouth so hard you can actually hear like, like what the heck?
Funny. Yeah, and there's just like a mass exodus from Nelly's restaurant.
Yeah, and people are like, you know, insulted and disgusted, and she comes out to tell them more.
And don't come back.
It's like they're not coming back. This is, you know, he just lost the only 9 customers in town. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But we just love the customers and all of this with the Nelly customer service.
I know, and it's really new, the restaurant. I mean, she only gets that season 6, episode 1. We're only on episode 4, so she is really learning at this point.
We get Mrs. Walker getting...
Miss Foster.
Oh, did I call her Walker? I'm sorry.
A little bit.
So I usually call her Mrs. Whipple. I have no idea where that comes from. But so she comes running out. I always find that this is a little bit strange. I think how she has to... you know, write down the message, but I guess how else are you really going to do this?
Yeah, she's getting a telegram. The telegram's for Adam, and she sees Caroline outside. So she's like, Caroline, stop. Can you give this to Adam?
Yeah.
And if you notice, there's an IMDb trivia goof here where Caroline stops and she puts the parking brake on, and then at the end, she just takes off with the parking brake still on, and that poor horse.
Well, in all fairness, she probably does that so much that the parking brake doesn't even work anymore.
Yeah, true. It's probably all worn down.
I don't know if you've ever done that. I've done it before.
Oh, for sure.
and it's just one of the dopiest things that people tend to do. That's why I will not go near a parking brake anymore, unless I'm in an old vintage car where you need one. So, yeah, so we basically are sending mail home. It's good news from what we understand.
Yeah, and Ma's like, I'm going to the blind school anyway, so I'll just take it with me. And at the blind school, like, hunky Adam.
I like this. We also get a decent shot of the blind school inside. I always like the simple architecture of the building. I don't know. The molding and everything is really nice, I think.
And I've said before, and I will say again, that Mary and Adam have such good chemistry together.
Yes.
Like, he brings out a completely different side of Mary. So they are, like, getting their flirt on a little bit. And then
they
start
it's like, get
out
a room, you two. But they're overly complimenting each other in this scene.
And she's like, thank you, husband. And she's like, ooh, you're a good teacher. Like, it's very steamy in there. And then Ma walks in, as per usual, not announcing herself, and just watching them make out.
Yeah, she just takes it in for a minute.
Yeah, and she kind of teases him, like, oh, did I interrupt something? It's like, yeah, you did. Like, you should have said, hi, I'm here.
It's like, yeah, kiss her real good.
Yeah, it's weird. She's like, I remember when Charles used to kiss me like that.
But here's Ma walking in with the hose. About to spray it on these two.
Obviously, I'm interrupting something.
Hi, Ma. Hi, yourself. Hi.
No, what did... kill them to go spend 5 cents on a bell to put on the door.
Honestly. No, I
ding,
know.
Ding, and ding, ding. Oh, somebody's at the door.
And if you notice, Adam doesn't even say hi. He's just like embarrassed. And it's like, you guys do this to me every time I kiss my wife. I just assume there's an Ingalls in the room at this point.
Yeah, it's like he is aroused more often with more people in the room than he realizes.
I know. It's messed up. Honestly, this is a hill I am willing to die on. When you walk in a room full of blind people, announce yourself. It's only polite.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But she comes in with the message.
Have a telegraph for Adam.
For me?
It's addressed to Mr. Adam Kendall, Principal, Harriet Olson Institute for the Advancement of Blind Children, Walnut Grove, Minnesota.
Sounds like me, all right.
Who's it from, Ma?
This is where Ma's like, guess. You know, it's just tell them the news. Like, just,
I know.
You have to read it, right? You should have read it before you got there. That way,
I totally agree.
So let's play the guessing game with the blind people.
With your permission, I'll open it and read.
Permission granted.
Don't worry, Mrs. Foster already said it was good news.
So half the town already knows. So if I could know as well, that'd be real nice. It's not a sealed envelope.
No, it's not.
Everyone's nails are done in this episode, by the way.
I noticed Ma had like a French manicure on this scene.
And crazy. The same thing with Mary.
Yes.
And actually, Mary's hair is a lot better in this episode. We get to see it later.
Everything about Mary is so polished and put together. Even when she is like messed up later on in the episode, she is so like dainty and beautiful and everything. I don't know. She's just a doll.
This is a great Mary episode. You pointed that out. Yeah.
Oh, Mary. Adam?
What is it, Mom?
Yes.
The National Association of Blind School Educators is pleased to inform you that you have been chosen to receive this year's Louis Braille Award for dedicated and distinguished teaching.
It's about time, really.
Well, interesting that you mentioned time, Mark, because that award has only been around since 1959.
Yeah, but we just saw this. This is 1879, Kim.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my bad. 1879 then. But it's like, I don't know, a little fact checking on this episode. I don't know what happened here. It all kind of fell through the cracks.
Yeah, I mean, they were getting a little bit more liberal with the facts at this point. Yeah. It's kind of like, and ratings are facts.
Well, Adam is like so honored, and Mary's like, I'm so proud of you, husband. And it turns out that Mary and Hester Sue kind of like devised this whole plan to get him nominated for this award.
Yeah, I think it's really sweet. These are the kind of things that I just think it's super sweet. It's super nice for him to work so hard and to be given this award. It's such an honor.
And he is the only blind person ever to receive this award.
Now, why is it going to cost so much to travel there? Because they start talking about, well, this is great, but we can't go.
My God, they must be flying in a solid gold airplane, because they say it's going to cost about $60 for them to go from Walnut Grove, Minnesota to St. Paul, Minnesota. They talk nothing about like spending the night in a hotel or anything. They just need to get a stage trip to the train station and then a train trip to St. Paul, which is about 150 miles away from Walnut Grove.
Now, aside from one little mention, there's really not too much of a concern about the fact that they are blind and they're traveling very far.
Yeah, no. And yeah. And Mary's even like, you know, don't worry, but I won't even go with you. Like, we'll save money. He's like, I wouldn't go without you. Like, I need you by my side. But Adam travels blind by himself to go see his father, like in New York. And it's like, My God, that's tough. Good.
Got money for that.
Yeah, I know. Right?
There's no award at the end of that. Just a lot of heartache.
Oh, seriously. And, you know, Hester Sue's like, I have $4 you can have. And Mary and Adam are like, well, we have 12, but, you know, there's nothing we can do. And Ma's like, I bet I can weasel $30 out of Charles.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
right.
They're around the table and they're talking about this. If only somebody had some honey money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a once in a lifetime honor for Adam. They just don't have the money.
Carolyn, I'd do anything to help them, you know that, but we don't have it either.
Do you know sometimes the lighting when they're at dinner is so low?
Mm-hmm.
Other times it's like you could see every square inch of the room.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
This, there is one light and one light only. Like, we're broke. We have enough money for this lamp.
Pa can't see baby Grace.
Exactly.
It's not that common. Dear, $60, there's just no way I could swing it.
Perhaps the bank.
You know how I feel about borrowing. I don't want to start that again.
I know. I'm sorry. I was just hoping.
I have all this money put aside for a future snow globe purchase.
Honestly.
You guys have a ton of money somewhere. I guarantee up in the Saudi, there's a little corner and there's money in there.
I mean, they seem to have money for such frivolous items. Like, really, this award is a huge honor. It's a once in a lifetime thing, but it is not going to fill your bellies. Ma is basically asking Pa to take out, in nowadays money, like a $1,200 loan.
Yeah.
And these people don't have two nickels to rub together aside from the snow globe fund. So I don't know. It's crazy the stuff they are and they aren't willing to spend money on.
Well, if you look closely, you'll see that Laura has the newest iPhone X. And everybody has their, you know, somehow they're paying their bills every month. No, it's kind of the same culture nowadays. I mean, people claim to not have any money, but somehow you're paying for your like brand new iPhone and stuff like that. And it's like, how are you affording a MacBook Pro that came out this year? So
true.
I don't know. I don't know how people have money, but people seem to have money for the things that, I don't know, they don't matter so much.
Mm-hmm.
But who am I to judge? I'm just a lonely podcaster. Alone, not lonely. Kim.
I was going to say, are you okay?
I'm a little alone today. But I am getting texts from a ton of people telling me that my son was in some form of a car accident, but that didn't happen because he's right downstairs. That's fun. Anyway, so we have Laura talking to Albert upstairs, and they're both like, oh, man, it's, you know, we're really not going to be able to enjoy these things we're going to order out of a catalog. I wish I had a horse to sell, you know, a pony. make a quick trade with Nels, who isn't around. But
not at all.
But, yeah, I mean, Laura is a sacrificer, right? Like, yeah. She's always willing to put her her neck and her money out on the line. So mm-hmm. Here's that conversation.
What do you think?
I don't want to think.
Sucks.
We could do it.
We could.
I'm willing. What do you say?
Goodbye, telescope. Goodbye, velocipede.
Hello, Santa Claus. Come on. Let's go tell Mom and Pop before we change our minds.
So, before we change our minds, let's look at the catalog again. Maybe we'll find something really good.
You know, when you think about it, it's way bigger of a sacrifice for Albert. Because Albert hardly knows Mary when you think about it. Like, they never lived together or anything. It's a nice thing to do, but he doesn't have the same bond that Laura has with Mary.
Well, he has that family bond. You know, he's immediately, you know... He's like, you know, either I'm a part of this family or I'm not a part of this family.
True. And, you know, he's a good boy. So they decide to wake Ma and Pa up. And they were like, we are going to buy them a ticket. But just so you know, like, we're not going to have any money left over for Christmas to get you guys anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like, do you guys think maybe we should take $10 of this money and just buy Mary and Adam something really nice?
I know.
You know, but no. So... they're like, let's go now. Let's go tell them right now. Everybody's
like
going to go
in the morning.
Everybody's going to go. And Carrie's like, I want to go. And we get a weird little scene. And I just realized this is one of those scenes that we don't normally get this view. We get the view from behind the fireplace.
Yeah. So we're getting like from the foot of Mom and Pa's bed and we're just getting like dead on Carrie.
Yeah. And
Ma gives Carrie the meanest look we have ever seen Ma give. It was like the most mom look.
Yeah. And she has a good point though, poor Carrie.
Can I go?
Oh, Carrie. You stay and take care of your baby sister. We won't be gone long.
Pa said we'd all go.
Carrie.
Yes, Ma.
Poor kid. It's like,
I know.
Always being left out of things.
I know. This was a real hard one for Carrie.
And she can't play with bees. She can't go out in the middle of the night.
Life is not fair.
It's really not. She's stuck with Grace.
I know. What's she going to do if Grace, God forbid, has an accident? Like, what's Carrie going to do? You know, she like you said, she can't even leave the house.
She's no orangutan.
Exactly. Thank you.
So we... all right, so they come, and we get a weird Caroline laugh. We get the, I'm drunk and I'm walking into the house laugh.
Yeah, like there's not a house full of sleeping children. Well, they come in and they're like, children. Woo, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't have like air horns. Like, arr! Like, wake up.
I'm coming.
Somebody knocks on my door like that in the middle of the night. It's not going to be friendly.
Sleep around here. If they don't.
Carolyn, Charles, we have good news. We just couldn't wait.
What's the matter down there?
Oh, it's just us, Adam. Somebody hurt, Mom? No. We have good news. Laura?
Adam wants to say he just couldn't wait until the morning. like I was seriously asleep.
Yeah.
You and Adam are going on that trip.
They sure are.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to fast forward a little bit here because we start seeing Adam being worried a little bit because...
Yeah, it's a weird thing to see, by the way, because Adam is so confident all mm-hmm. the time. So to see him be, like, kind of nervous about this public speaking role is a different side of Adam.
Yeah, it's really crazy. He, like you said, he's always confident. He's always the... A guy who you just really kind of expect to be composed and be able to handle a crowd. But he's not. We're starting to see him, like, really worried. And it's kind of cute in a way, I think. Oh,
Seriously. No, it is sweet. And Mary's like, oh, baby, like, you're going to do so good. Like, Mary is so loved up. But
she loves it because it's like, finally, he's like a little bit weak.
Yeah, down to earth a little bit more. But it's like the most convoluted plot device of all time that Adam's like, you know what will help me feel more confident? Mm-hmm. Remember when you had glasses and everyone called you Four Eyes and it was like super traumatic in your life? Do you think I could get those glasses? Because if I hold them in my hand, I can illustrate my point better. And that's just going to make me feel so much more confident.
Well, didn't he say that she could use them to accentuate her point?
The whole time he's like, because you're going to give that speech for me, right, baby? And she's like, no, it's your speech. And they kind of tease each other back and forth about it. They're pretty cute.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. Albert and Laura go to cash in. They have their honey. It's on the wagon.
And I have to say, because Nels is going to give them 30 cents a pound, right? They take mm-hmm. the wagon into the mercantile. They got all their honey, like you said. They have a deal with Nels, 30 cents a pound. In the Sears Roebuck catalog, they are selling honey for 20 cents a pound.
Well, I don't know where that honey comes from.
Well, that's a good point. But who knows where this bee tree honey comes from? They just, no.
It's like a dead squirrel in the middle of it or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just goes to show you, without Harriet, like, Nels would be out on the street. He is such a bad businessman.
I mean, because what she does is she cuts the price in half. She sees, not only are they desperate to make a sale, but mm-hmm. they really don't have much of a choice, really.
Yeah, she's like, it's 15 cents or nothing, and where else are they going to peddle this? I mean, this is the only mercantile for ways around, but little street urchin Albert's like, I got an idea.
Yeah, so he basically says, look, for the full price, we'll throw in our best hive,
mm-hmm.
which is a lie.
Yeah. He's like, it produces hundreds of pounds of honey each year and beeswax.
With one little side note, they need to pick it up themselves because Pa said we can only use the wagon today, which right. just sounds okay. It's fine.
But hive is super docile, and if you come after sun up, all the bees will be taking, and I quote, their morning nap.
Oh.
And so, like, you won't even notice them. Like, they're just so sweet and so quiet.
Yeah, so we have they're outside of the mercantile, and they're really proud of themselves for this accomplishment of, I don't know. I mean, this could end up as manslaughter, really. I mean,
they straight up try and kill Mrs. Olsen.
Yeah, like, so they're talking about it a little bit.
How come you told her after sunup? It'll be hot then, and the bees will...
That's why I'm the genius. Let's get this honey unloaded.
We're going to kill them.
It's going to sting the crap out of them. Like, they're going to be unrecognizable by the time they come back into town. But I can just say, as a beekeeper, it is the best time is after the sun is up to get the honey, because the bees are going to be out getting their pollen and stuff. So, like, less bees will be home, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like a scary thing. But, you know, it's what it is. It's how we get honey. So.
I had to transport two hives in my car when I first picked them up.
Oh my God. Like,
yeah, it was crazy.
See, that's like something that you should have videoed.
Oh my God. Well, the guy was like, wear your veil on the way home. And I was like, nah, I'm sure it'll be fine. You know, and they have this plug.
I'll just drive fast.
Exactly. And it was like an hour away, but there's like a little plug that you can put in there to stop them in like an actual hive to stop so many from coming out. Not a tree though. That's totally different.
Oh my God. So, if we look back to, A Christmas at Plum Creek, we see Pa building a wheel on four wheels to trade mm-hmm. Nels for, an oven. Or rather, for $8 or something. I forget what the exact price was.
Yeah.
But so this is why it's so important for wheels to be created correctly.
Oh, my God.
This guy is inspecting his coach, and it's a little bit of a foreshadowing here.
How's it going?
Well, what you need is a new wheel.
What I need is a whole new coach.
I can't argue with that. I never saw a coach need so much work.
You tell that to the owners. They run these things right into the ground. Profits first, repairs last.
Wah, wah. It's like taking an Uber on the economy Uber. When the guy shows up and it's like, it smells like poop in here. You know?
We learn later that Pa knows that the wheel sucks. Like, Pa is overseeing this whole tinkering around with the wagon. I find it so hard to believe that Charles Ingalls would let a child of his get onto a coach that is not in tip-top shape.
If I were a betting man, I would want to look into any type of insurance that was put out in the for Mary and Adam in to pay out to Charles. I would like to, but he basically says, "Hey, they're blind, so look out for them." So
they're blind; they can handle themselves. But like, just so you know, and Ma's like, "Oh my God!" Speaking of blind, Mary, here's those glasses that you wanted. And Mary's like, why do I have these glasses? And Adam's kind of like, ooh, boy. Like, he's so sheepish this whole episode. He's like, ah, shucks.
I think it's a fetish thing that they're working on. I don't know. Okay. This is like a whole, like, behind the scenes, like, you know, put on your glasses, Mary. I want to feel your face. So, all right. So we're going to meet Marge, who is a 16-year-old Landon.
Yeah, 16-year-old Landon.
And pregnant.
Is 7 months pregnant. She is Marge Lauren. Her husband, quote unquote, lives in Minneapolis, and he like finally got a job there and a house there. So she's been staying with her parents until he's settled, and she's going out to meet him.
Now, this is only part of the trip, though. See, I guess they take the stagecoach to the train, and then the train takes them to St. Paul. Where are they going again?
They're going to St. Paul. Marge is going to Minneapolis. But yeah, we're only taking the stage to the train depot, which, by the way, Ingalls have taken their own wagon to many, many times before.
On a weekly basis, it seems.
Yeah.
Does not seem like that big of a deal. Today it is. Today it's a big deal.
Right.
So I'm just going to play a clip of this just to give you an idea of how noisy and horrible this particular stage
just
is.
Just picture rocking back and forth like the whole time. It's dizzying.
You want to throw up just watching this.
Yeah. Traveling together, I suppose we should introduce ourselves. I'm Mrs. Lauren, Marge.
Adam, Kendall, and this is my wife, Mary.
Glad to meet you, Marge. Likewise, I'm sure. Where are you heading? St. Paul.
How about yourself?
I'm going to Minneapolis to join my husband. I'm staying with my folks and Tracy while Stan was looking for a job.
Well, again, this is Leslie Landon, and I looked it up, and I was really amazed to find out that she played four different characters in the run of Little House on the Prairie.
Well, I can only think of three.
Well, she plays a character named Leslie also in The Plague.
Exactly.
But for whatever reason, they don't put that in the list. So it's she plays Etta Plum, she plays Pam, Marge, of course, and Leslie.
Oh, I don't remember Pam.
Yeah, me either. This is in, I'm looking, A Wiser Heart. She plays Pam.
Oh, okay.
But she also plays a fifth character named Woman Sitting at the Church.
Oh, well, I knew that one. No, I'm just kidding.
That's the big one. But she is in, so I wonder if she holds the record for most characters.
I don't know. It's interesting, though. Like, good for her. She's a good little actress, especially for 16.
She didn't do very much, though. I mean, of course, like, she grew up, she was born rich and she will die rich. But the only thing that she did outside of Little House universe is Hollywood's Most Sensational Mysteries, which was a TV movie. She played Cheryl Crane in 1984.
And I think she's like a psychologist now, right? Is that right? So she just like didn't act, which is like good for you. I mean, my God, all these celebrity kids are just like, acting is my only way. So good for you. Get yourself an education.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's another thing. Like, she has that the option to be able to try everything, I guess.
Yeah.
So they're on the coach and they're all jumping around, bouncing around, and it's just, they're complaining. They're really complaining quite a bit, I think.
I would too. That looked miserable. And if I paid $57,
well, this is just part of it.
Comfort. Yeah.
A stage gets about 15 cents a mile. So if they're going like 20 miles or 30 miles, I mean, we're talking money, but we're not talking about a tremendous amount of money. And from what I understand, it was always considered to be not only a rough ride, but also a rude ride. Like, the guy who's running the coach isn't like friendly, and it's a tough thing. It's dusty.
Mm-hmm.
We meet them. I just want to throw up after seeing the scene. It's like, I can't look at it anymore, but I think that was the intention of shaking the camera all around. Meanwhile, back at Plum Creek.
Yep. The Olsen ladies are here to pick up the hive.
It's just funny. There's, you know, we have Albert and Laura just kind of hanging out on the side. And by the way, this log where the bees are is kind of, I mean, it's not close to the house, but it's kind of close.
It's pretty darn close, which made me think that they found it out in the woods and brought it back there because it's kind of right by the creek. It's right by the little waterfall that they have there. So I think that they must have brought it back. I mean, you don't just stumble upon a honey tree right outside your house.
Well, I think what they were doing, they were looking, they're like, do you know where a hollow log is? And Mary heard, and she's like, you know, I used to hide my glasses in this one.
Interesting.
So I, you know what? I think I might have to take a screenshot and see if this is the same log used. It's like a prop log.
Yeah, and also the glasses play a very big part in this episode. God. So we're coming full circle.
Those glasses are like a character within themselves for no reason.
Good morning.
Good morning. I've come for my honey.
Well, it's right over there.
Where?
I don't see any hive.
No.
It's in the log. We found a bee tree chock full of honey.
And beeswax, too.
A bee tree? What's a bee tree?
That's a thing.
It is, I guess.
It is a thing. Yeah. Because, wow. Okay, because bees happen naturally. Like, honeybees happen naturally, and they need to find a place. So a lot of times that you'll find people that have them on their property or whatever in, like, the beekeeping groups on Facebook. People are like, come, please help, get rid of these bees, and you can keep them for free, you know?
Oh,
like,
my God.
We get rid of them. And so you open it up, and there is just, like, the most amazing amount of comb in there. And it's crazy because they'll just build them a spot. And so they fill like garages a lot or like just abandoned place. Like bees need to find a place to do it. And so I know in the books, one time Charles comes running back and he's like, give me every bucket we have. Like I found honey and we'll have honey for the next 10 years. I found so much honey in a tree.
Wow.
And when I was first starting to get into beekeeping, my grandpa was like, you're going to buy bees? Like go find you a honey tree. And I was like, that's not like the easiest thing to find out there. Like, do you have directions? Like, I don't know where to find a bee tree.
Right. You need like dowsing rods or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're real. They're out there.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I feel like if I were to go on YouTube, I could find somebody cutting one open.
Probably. Oof, probably.
I will. New rabbit hole to go down.
Got it.
Here we go.
Oh! I'd forgotten about beeswax.
Oh, so did I. Just say it's a bonus.
Oh, Albert, my, you never will be a businessman.
I know. Every time I make a deal, I get stung.
Oh!
Well, it's all yours now. Take it away.
All right.
The Olsens are dressed beautifully, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's, as always. But
yeah,
it's
not
just
ready to get bees.
I mean, Harriet's got her white gloves on, or maybe even, like, pink gloves. I can't tell from this angle. But, yeah, it's a bit much.
Come on, Nellie, give me a hand.
Oh, Mother, must I?
It's your restaurant.
This is how I feel when I buy something that I don't know what I'm going to do with. Like, I'm going to, like, I used to buy a lot of synthesizers and music instruments that are, like, from the 60s and 70s that are, like, hand-wired and big and heavy and bulky and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, I got it into the car. Now what? Like, it's, and, yeah, I would acquire these things, and it's like, all right, where am I going to put it so I can still live?
Seriously.
And sometimes I'll just have to get rid of it, sell it or something. But
all right, live.
I can hear them.
Oh. Are you sure it's safe?
Oh, sure. They hum like that when they're asleep.
Oh.
So they lug it onto the wagon, and it's terrible. It's just so mean. And
I know. Thank God they're not allergic.
Well, we don't know that they aren't.
We don't see Nellie again the rest of this episode. Lord knows what happens to her. But, yeah, they drive off, and you just see, like,
well, it's almost like a horror movie begins. I'm just going to play 5 seconds of this just to give you an idea. We get a close-up of the bees on the log, and holy moly, that is a, that's a bee tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you like screaming on wagons, well, you know what? This is the episode for you.
Yeah, I would not recommend listening to this one with headphones on. My Lord.
Sorry, did I just blow your ears out?
No, but later on there's a certain crash, and I watch with headphones on, and it was like, oh my God, it was so loud.
I find I have to listen to it with headphones, or I have to crank this. It's just weird, because whenever I watch it right before recording, I don't have subtitles on my version. So it's like, what? What did they say?
Yeah.
Like, I played back the first thing like four times when they were talking about the amount of honey, because it sounds like, it didn't sound like 216 pounds. It sounded like 264 pounds. So I'm like doing the math, and I'm like, all right, it's 216. Mumbles. All right. So, so here we are. We're on the wagon, and they're basically complaining how bouncing around this is, and I just wanted to play a moment of this. It reminds me so much of when I'm on the express line in the supermarket and the lady in front of me turns around and goes, can you believe how slow this is? And this is where, you know, Mark turns to the person and goes, I'm sorry, I'm just not in the mood to talk right now. I don't understand the point of these people who complain. Just shut up.
I'm not sure if it's the baby or the stagecoach. Could be both.
I feel the same way. I'm pretty sure I'm not pregnant.
So the stagecoach operator looks down and he's hearing this wheel. Things are going bad.
Yeah, and this whole time this wheel's like a red herring, because all of a sudden we see this pin is like bobbing up and down. Boop, 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 bobbing up and down.
Yeah.
That's threatening to like separate the horses from the stage completely. But we're all preoccupied with the wheel.
But we have Marge trying to give them sandwiches, because she's like, well, I can't eat because this is terrible. And my mom packed enough, you know, for an army because I'm pregnant. And they're like, yeah, we'll take it. You know, my mom didn't pack crap. Give us some pretzels. And that was about it.
Seriously, we're going to be gone for like 3 days.
Yeah, I didn't see anything packed for their snacks.
I didn't eat only glasses.
I didn't forget the glasses. Oh, this will be great. It ends up being really great. But the wheel craps out.
Not even the wheel. It's the horses.
Well, I think that the wheel didn't... I should watch it. But I almost feel like the wheel gave out and in turn made the horses go. I can't really tell exactly, but I'm going to guess that it was the wheel that really triggered this.
It makes sense because we spent a lot of time talking about the wheel. So the horses go loose and the stage flips conservatively like 10 to 12 times.
It's a serious flip.
Yeah, Adam gets expelled from it.
Well, I was going to play the horror movie sounds for a moment. Because
yeah, this
it's...
is what gets screamy.
Actually, that was just me on the Tilt-A-Whirl. That was just my GoPro. They really threw a wagon down the hill for this one. Wow.
It flips and when you think it's over, it's still going. And then we kind of like come to and we see Mary and Large Marge laying in the bottom.
I love that.
She's super pregnant. No disrespect to Leslie Lander, but she's super pregnant. And so we see her like laying in the bottom and they look dead. And so Mary comes up and Marge is kind of like wiggling her mouth a little bit. So we're like, okay, at least she's alive for now. But Mary can't find Adam. So she's like, Adam. And he's like, I'm here.
Yeah, it's all very visual. It's like, can you just imagine being blind?
Oh, my God.
It's just being in an accident alone is crazy. But to be blind,
And she's like trying to feel her way around. So she feels the roof and it's the door and the door opens. So she's like trying to hop out of the stage what's upside down. And she like climbs over a wheel. Keep in mind, in like a floor length skirt.
Yeah.
And she hops down. She sees Adam. Adam's legs.
Well, she doesn't see. Here's Adam.
So she comes to Adam and his legs are like pinned under the stage. And she's like trying to lift it off of him. But, you know, Marge is in there and it's a whole wagon. So Adam's like, stop. Like, you're just going to tire yourself out. Just stop.
Yeah. So basically, Adam is... Adam is Adam. Adam is calm. He's collected. He's this is the situation.
Yeah.
He says at some point, kind of like, I'm under the coach. Get off the coach, you know.
Yeah.
It's crushing me.
Yeah, so, and so she's like, driver, driver. She's yeah. like screaming for the driver, and he is dead, like you said, like 60 feet away.
Yeah, like he's easily 60 feet away. So
just keep in mind, he's on the outside this whole time. So he's getting like 100% of the front of it. Yeah.
And it was a hill, it looked like. So, I mean, it makes sense. But
I mean,
here,
James and Cassandra's parents died in less bad of a crash than what we just saw.
I feel like it was a similar hill. Maybe it was the same hill.
Probably.
But here's Adam kind of talking about things. He only has one real question, or his first question.
Is March all right?
It's all you talk about anymore.
I don't like the way that you've been flirting with Marge.
I see the way you're looking at her. I'm blind. What are you talking about? I know. You want her to wear my glasses.
It's nice that somebody cares for Marge. My God, this pregnant woman.
Oh, my God.
All by herself, 16 years old, at least Leslie Landon.
She's a Landon.
Yeah. Yeah. She'll just take her shirt off and cry. She'll be fine.
Also, I found that Mary's eyebrows are slightly too manicured for 1879.
Very plucked. Very thin. And very 70s. Her hair was feathered.
Her hair is super feathered, right? And layered. Yeah. And it looks, you know, really better when it's all mussed up.
Yeah.
But here's some of that scene.
She's alive.
Not for long. I'll take care of that.
How about the driver?
Who?
No.
It's nice to learn people's names, Mary.
I know. But this is why Adam is so hot. He is so in control at all times. His legs, we don't know what's going on with there. We don't know if he's going to keep them or not, but he's like, hey, Mary, like, why don't we just be cool? Like,
how's Marge? Right?
Yeah. How's
no,
the
but
driver?
He is such, he should play a doctor because it's he has that demeanor. He knows how to really bring it to the table, especially on screen. So there's so much calm in Adam, and you know he's thinking right away. I mean, and this becomes a little bit of a joke later. He's like, I don't have to give that speech.
Exactly. And then, you know, we do kind of know something's going on. So in town, Miss Foster is getting a telegram from the stage company. That's like, where is the stage? It's overdue. Hello. Like, you're going to have to pay late fees. And so she goes running to the mill and she's like, I got to tell Pa. I got to tell Jonathan. Like,
and they're not doing much. I mean, it's not like they're busy, right? So,
which begs the question, why couldn't they drive Mary and Adam to the train station?
Listen how casual it is.
You should know. I just got a telegraph query from the Sleepy Eye Stage Depot.
All right, take it easy, take it easy.
They want to know when the stage left. It's way overdue.
Think something happened, Charles?
Yeah, I think that wobbly wheel probably came apart and it's stuck on the road somewhere.
I hope they don't miss the train.
What do you say we take the wagon right out there, pick them up, take them to Sleepy Eye?
Good idea.
Now, we have... How much was it about the $56... What is that, like $1,500 in today's money? Mm-hmm. We're talking about a lot of money on the line, right? So if they miss that train, I don't think there's refunds.
I was wondering if they get a refund. They should. I mean, my God. Where
but maybe you buy the ticket when you get there. That's possible.
Yeah. Which means that they just hold on to it. Because I don't think Albert and Laura get that money back. But one thing that we have to say.
Yeah, there's no telescope in a future episode.
No, he's not just like cruising around on his velocipede.
What an uncomfortable conversation, right? Like, a month later. Hey, guys, you know, remember that $56?
I'm so glad your legs are doing better. You owe me. But we should say that they actually took a detour because the wheel was acting up. So they're not on the route that they should be on. They were going to a different town to get the wheel fixed. So that adds like yet another wrench in the plan of finding and rescuing them is that Jonathan and Pa think that they're going one way and they're actually going a different way.
One other thing I do want to mention is that when Adam is pinned under the coach, we see Mary's hands and everything, and she doesn't have her wedding ring on. in this scene. Leslie Landon is wearing a wedding ring.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
Keep our morals in Little House.
16 and pregnant is bad enough, you know, to not be married. So, so I just thought it was interesting that later, though, we do see the appearance of a wedding ring on Mary's hand.
Good eye. I didn't notice. I saw that you wrote that, but I didn't notice.
Yeah, it was just kind of strange, but yeah, not that big of a deal. She's not married in real life, at least at the time.
And Adam, like, we go back because we're cutting back and forth between, you know, Walnut Grove and No Man's Land. And Adam is calm and cool, but he's also like, oh, by the way, I can't feel my legs anymore. And we're all probably going to die out here because nobody knows where we are because of that damn detour.
And if you're wondering about the bees, so am I. But we never learn anything else about the bees.
Nope, never again. And then we hear Marge just being like, my baby!
Yeah, this is a small little segment of everything going wrong at the worst possible time.
That's the main route. They don't know what road we took. I can't feel my legs anymore.
Hilarious.
My baby! Marge? Marge, what is it? My water broke.
It's not a good time, Marge.
Honestly. Have to get help.
It's like, can you hold it in?
Can you cross your legs real tight? But no.
It's really scary.
She says she has broken ribs. She's like, oh, my ribs. Like, so she has to push with no anesthetic, with broken ribs in a rundown carriage. And at best case scenario, your baby's going to be delivered by a blind woman. Like, oh, my God, these so many, like you said, all like the perfect storm of bad things happening right now. And not to mention, Marge is only 7 months pregnant. They kind of skip over that.
Now, here's another thing is none of the bad stuff happens, really. Until we have Albert basically scamming Harriet into taking the beehive.
Interesting.
So if we're going to look at the big karma scale of things, yeah, where you're doing something bad and in turn something bad is going to happen, we have a number of things that correlate between Albert and Mary and fire.
Oh, yes.
So there's this trifecta of just Albert's existence. He's almost like the cousin in the Brady Bunch, you know? Yeah. So there's this weird thing here, and I don't know if it's intentional. I doubt it. But I do see that Albert might be putting a little bit of bad juju out there.
And it comes right back to you or the people close to you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And we're dismissing it as a miracle, but maybe it's just the karmatic gods giving a little bit of sympathy and letting it kind of like, all right, they got the bees hive home. They didn't die, maybe. Well, we know they didn't die, but they didn't get stung.
Yeah. All this death energy has got to go somewhere.
Yeah. With positive and negative needs to happen. All right. Yeah. So
Mary's like, I'm going to go into town. And Adam's like, how are you going to go into town? She's like, I'll go get us help. And he's like, I don't understand how you're going to do that. She's like, the sun is on my face. So, like, this way is west, this way is east. I'm going to go here. You hold on to the water because you and Marge are going to need it. Mm-hmm. You would do anything to get out of making that speech, wouldn't you?
It's a great little jab. It's funny. It's
cute. Yeah. They're
anything to lighten the moment. So we have a little bit of weird music. I'm just going to play it. This is like adventure music. This is Mary, you know, in complete darkness.
Tromping through the woods.
In the middle of nowhere. I mean, I guess you would hear a stream. But, I mean, it could be anything right in front of her.
There could be, like, a rattlesnake pit. There could be a hill.
An air shaft, hole. Yes. Could be anything. Sure is rocky for the plains, but it's not so like you're doing a lot of climbing for Minnesota.
Yeah. And of course she pulls a carry and falls down the hill.
Yeah.
And she like bonks her head on a rock. She's out.
Yeah. But she drops her glasses. Right.
Which where were they? Because there are no pockets in that whole outfit, and she didn't have them in her hand because we saw those beautifully manicured hands like feeling around on the ground.
Come on, she had a fanny pack.
No glasses. Oh, okay. That makes
sense. But maybe she did have a little like satchel or something.
A little drawstring.
I guess. I mean, she's holding it the whole time. It's kind of weird. It's a weird thing to hold.
Yeah, they fall out. Mary is conked out, and yeah. We see that the glasses kind of lay upon this mound of, like, dead grass.
Now, in California, where you grew up, do you remember there being a lot of controlled burns? Like, you know, they'll start these fires on purpose, because if they don't, yeah. Things like this could happen.
Right, yeah, it's called prescribed burn, and it's basically what the earth does naturally, so it kind of... Like trees will drop pine needles and pine cones and stuff, which are great kindling for fire to clear out and to keep their numbers in control. And so usually people would rather have control over that. So they'll start the fires themselves. As far as living in California, I don't remember there being too many controlled fires. I remember a whole lot of wildfires starting out of nowhere, but I don't remember too many controlled ones. They do them here all the time in the wildlife area.
It's actually something that was done for decades, actually, and it would and they stopped doing it about 10 years ago because people were complaining that too much foliage and too many trees are being cut down on purpose. And that's one of the number one reasons why there are so many crazy fires in the West right now, because it needs to be controlled, you know. And that's not the only reason, of course. It's just, you know, a lot of California is kind of a desert. You know, it's hot, so I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's this is just something that's a realistic type of thing to happen. Those are some thick-ass glasses, by the way.
My God. Yeah, they're like Coke bottle glasses. And this is a very real fear I've had for like several years before ever watching Little House, because I'll have like prescription sunglasses and I'll just toss them in the car and I have to like put them away so that they don't like start a fire.
Do you hear the music in your head like dun 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 dun?
And my God.
It'll zoom in as it's doing the little smoke that comes up.
I'm like, you know what? I'll never regret putting these back where they belong. Let me just take the extra second and pop them in that overhead thing.
I never thought about that, but it's a good point.
Scared.
So Mary and fire are enemies. We learn this. And I'm going to play some of this. I was going to say Pa and Jonathan are just out on a casual ride. They're actually having a pretty good time. And then they run into a couple people who are looking for the stagecoach. And then you see they're taking it a little bit more seriously now. They thought that they were just going to say, oh, these guys, they found a wheel. Let's help them out.
Yeah, half day at work today. Woohoo!
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, don't you wish we kind of just did this in the first place, Charles? Now, that sounds exactly like when the blind school's on fire.
Yeah, it really does. And she's like, help me, my baby. But at this point, Mary is in, like, the center of a ring of fire.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know which way to go. She doesn't know what's going to happen. My God, it's
Pa
so
puts on his
scary
asbestos suit and runs right through the fire.
He just hops right through that fire, yeah, and swoops her up. And you got to imagine, she's like, am I dead? Like, why is my dad here? That's weird.
Well, he's Charles Ingalls. Have you heard?
He's everywhere. He's omnipresent.
But the thing that's magical here is that the glasses, which shouldn't have even really come, started this fire that alerted them to Mary's location.
Right.
And imagine waking up. Oh, imagine being blind is bad enough. I mean, or scary enough. But I guess she's used to it by now. But you wake up and there's a wall of heat in front of you.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you have vision, I mean, it's a horrible situation.
And you're already lost and you just bonked your head on a rock. It's not even like waking up from a nap. It's like, oh my, you're concussed. Like, oh, this is very bad. But yeah, so like you said, they're looking out over the plains. They see the smoke, Jonathan and Charles. That's how they know where to get Mary. And they save her like just in the nick of time. And presumably she tells them about Marge and Adam, because the next thing we're at the blind school with Doc Baker.
Yeah. And he's basically, he'll give his outcome. He's coming down the stairs.
How's Adam, Doctor?
Well, he won't be running any foot races for a while.
Sprained ankle. No big deal. I mean, Doc is cracking jokes.
Yeah, honestly. And meanwhile, they like may or may not be like a miscarriage stillborn like situation going on.
Yeah, we have no idea. And we don't get a report on the driver ever. You know, maybe he died. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he was okay.
Maybe.
Maybe he just banged his head on something. But no, we never learned. But
not until those fractures heal. Outside of that, he'll be fine.
Thank God.
Amen to that. If he'd been under that coach any longer, I couldn't have saved him.
Mrs. Lauren?
A bouncing baby boy. Mother and child doing fine.
2 months premature in 1879. It's going to be a tough
race. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that Marge and her husband have been married for 7 months, so the baby's 7 months old, if you catch my meaning.
Yeah. Wink. That's it. It's a shotgun wedding.
I think so, because it's a bouncing baby boy. I find that hard to believe. That has just been in a wagon wreck where, like, Marion and Adam multiple times got flung onto her belly. Oh, and she has all these cracked ribs, and she had to deliver that baby. Poor Marge.
Well, you know, we do know that Doc does have a pretty good stock of morphine.
That's true.
So, and where is Albert right now? Oh, yeah, he's sitting at the table. We'll make sure he's not up. I'll go check on her. I'll clean this up for you, Leslie Landon. I'm Marge. So, large Marge. I think it's pretty classic. So they're all like very grateful. It kind of comes to a conclusion kind of quickly, a little too quickly. But
I was shocked how fast that we got that do 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 do.
Yeah, I don't like the do 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 do. I wish they would have changed the end to suit the tone of the episodes.
It's jarring at the worst of times. It's pretty crazy, but we get three miracles.
Yeah, we do get to learn about the three miracles, which you really got to think about, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But,
it's a good thing Mary started that fire. If we hadn't seen that smoke, we'd have never found
it. Maybe Albert's like, you know, maybe I'll start a fire, be as good as Mary.
Interesting. Get some attention back.
He's sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start that fire, Pa.
Isn't that what Albert said? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, and how did it start?
I don't know.
Everybody's dumbfounded. They're like, what? It's not that much of a mystery. I mean, it's...
Didn't they show us the glasses all burnt, like, in the charred remains? And it's like, yeah, we know. Like, you don't need to show us. We know what happened. The glasses started the fire.
I was there. I saw it.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So I'm guessing the three miracles are Marge and her baby are okay, Adam's okay, and the glasses started a fire to alert Pa to where Mary was.
Those glasses were in a tremendous fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fine. Those are magic glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, miraculous.
It's also kind of weird if I just zoomed in. I don't know what this is, but it looks like they're on a piece of cheesecloth. I don't know if you...
Interesting.
I don't know what that is. I'm just going to take it. It's clearly on some type of material, but maybe it was the sachet that Mary had. And you know what? Knowing Mary... The cash was in that same sachet.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think that the money got burnt. That's horrible.
Ugh, of course it got burnt.
Yeah, of course it did, man.
And now it's going to be Olsen's honey. Olsen's honey pot.
Yeah, if they survive.
Oh, they survive. They're fine. They're going to become real beekeepers. We'll probably see that log in the future episode, like right next to like the seesaw or something. But yeah, that's it. It's kind of interesting. I don't know. I thought it was a nice episode. I thought it was a strong episode that could have ended a little stronger.
Yeah, but I gotta say, I think this is one of the best Mary episodes. She is so brave and so capable, and I don't know. And it was cute. We saw a different side of Adam. Yeah. They were kind of like flirtatious and teasy and stuff. A very good episode.
Yeah. All in all, I thought it was. Actually, everybody was really good in this. Even Carrie had some decent lines. So, So everybody brought it to the table. And we never get... I don't think they ever go and do honey again. Like, you don't see them really kind of dealing with honey again in the future.
Mm-mm.
That's a real shame. So it seems like a moneymaker.
Yeah, and it's cool, and it's something from the earth. Like, it's very cool. I would love to learn more about, like, 1800s honey practices.
Yeah, I wonder how much it's changed. I'm sure it's just become more organized.
Yeah, probably not much.
Yeah. And just what does honey go for a pound? I mean, these are wholesale prices, but I mean...
I don't know, because we have had our honeybees for a year and a half, and we have had zero honey, not even like a spoonful.
A whiff.
Honey, and it's the most expensive honey we've never gotten to eat because it has cost us to start up and maintain these bees for the last year and a half. I don't like to throw out money often, but I'm going to guess maybe like $1,200.
Wow.
And we haven't even gotten a drop of honey or beeswax or anything. Ooh, but, you
got
know,
some crappy bees. I think they're wasps.
Oh, God, no. No, they have honey for themselves. They just don't put any extra in the part for us. But, you know, they pollinate our crops and our trees and stuff like that. So, you know, there's many reasons to have them. But I'm like, hello, I'd like a little honey.
We had a yellow jacket nest in our basement wall. Like, it was like you kind of saw them kind of swarming in and out when we first bought the house.
Oof.
And one day, right, our circuit breaker popped, you know, so I went to go reset it, and I hear,
oh, my God.
And I put my hand on the wall, and I'm like, can I feel vibration? So we made a call, and they basically, they filled the entire wall up with, like, some type of chemical, I guess, and killed them instantly. And I'm always tempted to open up the wall. I want to see what the nest looks like.
Oh, nasty. Yeah, the yellow jackets are so mean. They'll eat bees right out of the air. It's crazy. I've seen it happen.
The reason why we had yellow jackets is because, for whatever reason, they and wasps we had at the same time. We used to have this kind of playground thing, like with slide and stuff, and it was all made of wood. And for whatever reason, they were attracted to the wood. And it would actually nest in the wood, like, because when I took it down, like, I'm opening it up and parts of it are hollowed out. So it's weird. Like, I don't know, maybe a mixture of carpenter bees or something. Hmm. But either way, it was like, it was really kind of scary because bees to me are, maybe not bees are scary, but the wasps and the yellow jackets and stuff like that can be kind of scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they're living in our walls.
Yeah.
But Kim, I want to thank you so much for doing this episode. It's now 2021 when I'm releasing this.
Woohoo! Well, congratulations. Happy New Year.
Yeah, it's done. That was a long time ago. Remember what happened that night?
Oh, crazy.
Holy moly. So, just I want to make a weird prediction. Can you believe Lauren Ambrose... No, I don't know. I can't think of any real, really big actor. But I'm a big fan of Lauren Ambrose, who is in 6 Feet Under.
Oh, yeah. I know her.
She's one of these actresses. I mean, she did 6 Feet Under and she vanished. Now she's in some TV shows on, like, Netflix or something.
Well, you got the 6 Feet Under money. You can just sit pretty.
Yeah, driving around in that hearse. Pretty dope. Mm-hmm. It's a nice life, Kim. But thank you so much. I really appreciate it every time you come on here. And I'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.